brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur, This and That, episode 004. Let's roll into article number one, Five Essentials for a Successful Crowdfunding Campaign. Take it away.
Source, entrepreneur.com. By Seymour Segnett. In an ever-changing marketplace, large businesses struggle to keep up with the latest in technology and innovation. Corporations move at a snail's pace, committing millions to research and development, while tech-savvy entrepreneurs often innovate in months and sometimes days or hours, rather than years. As a result, crowdfunding, often coupled with social media advertising and email marketing, is positioning small business as the go-to for innovation and information services. In 2013, crowdfunding raised more than $5.1 billion worldwide and is expected to hit $10 billion by the end of this year. With its growth comes greater competition, so in most cases, each crowdfunding campaign need to be even more compelling than the last to snag the attention and the dollars of the growing crowd. So how do you do it? If you are considering crowdfunding, you have likely already read tips and tricks from those that have been there, done that. You know you need to create a video, share your campaign on social media, and test the market with friends and family early on, months before you launch, even, to get a steady flow of contributions going from the start. Consider these five little-known suggestions to help you supercharge a successful campaign. 1. Presentation is everything. How you present your idea on your campaign page is likely more important than the idea itself. You have just seconds to grab the attention of your potential supporters, so make sure your campaign page and video has a clear and concise message that pleads your case with the who, what, when, where and why, especially the why. For the video, if you are not a strong presenter or are uncomfortable on camera, get someone else to tell the story. Every word throughout the entire video must have deliberate intention and meaning. Open with a question related to why your product is needed. Include testimonials from those who have seen your idea and loved it. A decent camera phone with enough light will record at high enough quality to look professional, if you include the right messages behind it. 2. Pay to promote. Some crowdfunding platforms, such as Indiegogo, allow campaigns to begin using contributions before the campaign is over, so be willing to return a portion of your contributions to your campaign to increase its overall reach. Use contributions strategically, such as to create sponsored posts on Facebook. A PR advisor can advise on overall positioning and promotion, including how to write and post a press release on the campaign launch. Consider partnering with a search engine optimization expert to help contributors more easily find your campaign. Contributions invested wisely will increase the total number of contributions and more than cover what you have spent. 3. Press releases don't equal direct leads. A press release launching your campaign, and any articles that appear as a result, can go a long way to build awareness and credibility. They will remain online, and easily found, indefinitely if sent over a wire service, such as Business Wire or PR Newswire, but don't consider them lead generation tool. Even if your team consists of one person, you, coupling traditional public relations with advertising and sales tactics will help you get additional leads and turn them into contributions. 4. Keep communicating, even to naysayers. There is nothing worse than contributing to a campaign and then never hearing a peep again until the product ships, if it ever does. Keep your contributors in the know on shipping dates, interesting milestones and relevant news. That builds credibility for you and the campaign. If they have questions, respond promptly. If they praise you publicly, respond with gratitude. If they complain publicly, respond with a clarification or apology, as appropriate. Just respond. 5. Return for a second round of funding. With traditional funding, businesses often seek a seed round from private investors or banks, then progress, regroup and return for a second round of funding. You can do the same with crowdfunding, which is one of several reasons to start with a modest request. While you might need $500,000 or even $1 million to turn your idea into a real shipping product, Asking for that amount is usually a mistake. Set the goal at the minimum you need to take the project forward. A goal of $10,000 or $25,000 is much easier to reach. If you succeed far beyond that goal, it is a much more exciting story for the media. It's especially important when using a platform like Kickstarter, which only releases contributions if you reach your goal. When you need more capital to expand the capabilities or international reach of your product, you can return to ask for a second round of funding from the crowd. Crowdfunding is not necessarily going to be the miraculous savior to your suffering business or a get-rich-quick scheme. It is, however, an extraordinary model that, if done properly, just may help you fund your industry's next big idea.
Article number 2. Overcome imposter syndrome. What to do when you feel like a fraud. Take it away.
Source: Lifehacker. By Kyle Eschenroder. Everyone feels it at some point in their professional life. I'm a fraud and everyone is about to find out. It's healthy to question your own qualifications and take pause, but then you need to find a way to move forward and regain your confidence. What is imposter syndrome? It's feeling like an imposter when you're not. Like you're a fraud and the whole world is going to find you out. This makes total sense for undercover agents and people selling snake oil. It doesn't make so much sense for people who are trying to make the world a little better or to sell something they believe in. It's comforting to hear when famous high achievers feel the same way. The beauty of the imposter syndrome is you vacillate between extreme egomania and a complete feeling of, I'm a fraud. Oh God, they're onto me. I'm a fraud. So you just try to ride the egomania when it comes and enjoy it, and then slide through the idea of fraud. Tina Fey. There are an awful lot of people out there who think I'm an expert. How do these people believe all this about me? I'm so much aware of all the things I don't know. Dr. Chan, chief of the World Health Organization. The first problem of any kind of even limited success is the unshakable conviction that you are getting away with something, and that any moment now they will discover you. It's imposter syndrome, something my wife Amanda christened the fraud police. Neil Gaiman. Sometimes I wake up in the morning before going off to a shoot, and I think, I can do this. I'm a fraud. Kate Winslet. I have written 11 books, but each time I think, uh-oh, they're going to find out now. I've run a game on everybody, and they're going to find me out. Maya Angelou. Emma Watson, Sheryl Sandberg, and Sonia Sotomayor have also admitted to feeling like they'll be found out for the frauds they are. Seth Godin wrote in The Icarus Deception that after a dozen bestsellers he still feels like a fraud all the time. This problem is only getting worse as more of us are tied to our online presences. We're in this weird culture where you've got to sell yourself aggressively while remaining authentic. You think you need to be perfect, but you also need to feel free to fail. You need to be yourself and more. Trying to be sincere while being self-conscious of how you present yourself can make you feel like a fraud. Here are the ways I keep going when I feel like a fraud, 17 ways to overcome imposter syndrome. 1. Come off it. Usually I feel like a fraud when I think I'm more important than I am. When you feel like a fraud, it's in relation to some perfection that never actually existed. Letting go of some of your excess self-importance will go a long way in helping you feel less like a fake. 2. Accept that you have had some role in your successes. We feel like frauds because we are unable to internalize our successes. We were given an opportunity that others weren't. And so nothing we achieve after that opportunity was actually deserved. John D. Rockefeller's oldest son felt it strongly. His entire life's work was giving away money that his dad made. Can you imagine the intense imposter syndrome he must have felt? Holy moly. There are plenty of people born with a silver spoon that still manage to fuck up. They were given every opportunity and never could take advantage of them. Opportunities come to those who expose themselves to them. It's not all fair, not at all. But you did do something to get where you are. You said yes when you could have said no, or perhaps in a more challenging situation, you said no when you could have said yes. 3. Focus on providing value. I feel like a fraud when I'm concerned about myself. What will they think of me? If I fail, they'll shun me. I don't know as much as that other guy, I have no right to say anything on the topic. Blah blah blah. The fastest way to get over feeling like a fraud is to genuinely try to help someone else. This is hard because what if they hate you for it? What if they make fun of you for trying to help? What if your sincerity is smashed under the laughter of others? Then ouch. That hurts bad. Not nearly as bad as it hurts to feel like a shell of yourself though. I remember the first time I wrote vulnerably. I had gone through severe depression and had benefited from reading about others being depressed. I felt obligated to share my story. It's a couple years later now and I still get emails telling me how helpful the letter was to them. Not one person made fun of me for that. At least to my face. 4. Keep a file of people saying nice things about you. I just started this earlier this year and it's been amazing. Every time someone writes that I help them online, I take a screenshot and put it in my folder. When I feel like a fraud, I can go look through the stories of people I have helped. There was a mom whose 18-year-old boy was shaken out of being stuck because of something I had written. There are a whole series of entrepreneurs who started businesses because of articles I've written. There are successful entrepreneurs that were reinvigorated by something I wrote. There are a whole slew of people at rock bottom who have found life worth living again because of something I wrote. Those things keep me putting stuff out there. Because, honestly, it's easy to forget that writing can do any good. Collect your wins, testimonials, whatever, and then visit them when you're feeling like a fraud. 5. Stop comparing yourself to that person. There's no good reason for you to be reading what I'm writing. There are world-class biographies of Warren Buffett, John D. Rockefeller, and Einstein. James Al Tucker has had more successes than me. Peter Thiel just wrote a book. Tim Ferriss, Paul Graham, Kevin Kelly, these guys blog. But still, I'm writing this because I think I have something to offer. Actually, when I look at my praise file, I have proof that I have something to offer. When I compare myself to these others, it's easy to fall into the trap of my life sucks compared to that life. You might as well not even do anything. Your life isn't the best life. Emerson said, "Envy is ignorance," and he was right on. You aren't here to live the life of another person. You're here to do whatever life you can. Turn Facebook off, get off Instagram, stop reading biographies of successful people and learn to respect your own experience. You are not a fraud, you're just you. 6. Expose yourself totally. Part of the twisted arrogance that causes imposter syndrome is the usually unconscious belief that you have extreme powers that the world couldn't handle. Or maybe it's just that you think you are a freak. You certainly have the ability to offer the world something that nobody else can, but really it's not that wild. You are not nearly as much of a freak as you think you are. Again, come off it, you're just not that special. Try this, write for 30 minutes the most insane things about yourself. You will never show anybody this. Write your most ridiculous beliefs, your most terrible thoughts, your biggest fraud. Just write gibberish if you think that is crazy. Push into the deepest taboos you hold. Seeing these on paper doesn't get rid of them, but externalizing things puts them in a more sane perspective. Alternatively, try stream of conscious writing. Write for 30 minutes non-stop. You can't put your pen down. If there is no thought in your head, then write "I can't think of anything" until you do. This will constantly put you in touch with what's going on inside yourself. It's very useful to let your mind wander, and it might help to show you how silly imposter syndrome is. 7. Treat the thing as a business or experiment. Today there is a whole slew of artist entrepreneurs. We call part of what we do content creation. There has never been a time in history where so many people have a voice. No wonder we're all suffering from imposter syndrome. Start treating your art as a business. Not to the point that you start making crap because it's what people like, but to the point that you are honestly trying to serving your area of the market. In a business, if a product doesn't sell, you stop making it. If nobody shares this post or leaves comments, then I'll assume that nobody wants to hear me talk about imposter syndrome. Oh, I'll stop. I won't wallow in my failure and think the world hates me. I'm running a test. Looking at it this way makes it easier to create the thing freely, even if everything isn't a smash hit. 8. Remember, being wrong doesn't make you a fake. The best basketball players miss most of the shots they take. The best traders lose money on most trades. Presidents are wrong about stuff all the time. The best football teams inevitably lose. Losing is just part of the game. Don't glorify failure, but don't let it make you feel like you're not a real contender either. 9. Nobody belongs here more than you. That's the title of Miranda July's collection of stories which I haven't read, but I agree with it. Why do we feel we don't deserve to be in the game? Because we haven't won it yet? We haven't even tried. Break people down into what they are, expiring meat sacks. We are all going to die, we just take different routes to get there. One of the most attractive qualities in a person is acceptance. Acceptance of themselves and acceptance of you. If you can admit that nobody belongs here more than you while maintaining the belief that you don't belong here any more than anyone else, you will find yourself making connections with people in powerful ways. Do you want to be on your deathbed regretting that you spent your entire life stopping yourself because you felt like a fraud? Maybe you can't shake the feeling that you're a fraud. You can force yourself to move forward despite the feeling. 10. Realize that when you hold back, you're robbing the world. If you walk around feeling that you should be someone else or that you don't deserve to be here, then all your bad vibes rub off on other people. Your stunted expression means that you can't be there for people who need you. Everyone has doubts. The best gift you can give the world is to move forward regardless of the doubts, because it gives us the permission to move forward as well. 11. Say what you can. We are often put in the position of expert. When this happens, people look at you like you should know everything about a topic. We can't know everything about everything though. If I'm in a situation where there is potential to actually be a fraud, bullshit about things I don't know, just say what I can, as limited as it may be, and be honest with my limitations. People respect this much more. Admit that you don't yet have the answer, but you'll find it. 12. Realize that nobody knows what they're doing. Most startups fail. Even the ones that you hear about raising millions of dollars fail all the time. Nobody knows exactly what's going on. There are a ton of people who will tell you they know the answers. These people are liars. The world we live in is the result of a lot of brave people tinkering, failing, and succeeding once in a while. Nobody knows what's next. Some are willing to play ball in the face of uncertainty and some aren't. You're not an imposter for trying something that might not work. 13. Realize that you are not a constant. You are constantly changing. You are constantly becoming a new person. Your opinions change with new information, I hope. You spend 6 months eating donuts and then you spend 6 months at the gym. Last year you were obsessed with Call of Duty, now you don't understand video games. Maybe you were in a terrible mood this morning. Maybe you're a bit brighter now. There is as much difference between us and ourselves as there is between us and others. Michelle De Montigny. You are growing into something different. You are getting better. How? By trying to do something better than you actually can. That's not a lie, that's valor. 14. Authenticity is a hoax. What is being authentic? I'm not going to write to my grandma using the same words as I used to write to my sister. I'm not even going to emphasize the same interest I have. You represent yourself differently to different people all the time, without being dishonest. There is no person you can be other than you. Ever. The imposter syndrome will have you believe that you are being inauthentic, or that you are a liar. If that's true, then where is your true self? The imposter syndrome doesn't give an answer because it doesn't have one. Tell it to F off and realize that unless you are literally lying to people, you are just being yourself. 15. See credentials for what they are. They don't mean much. Expert means someone decided to call them that. PhD doesn't necessarily mean someone knows more than you, but it does mean they spent a lot of time in school. And they likely do know way more than you about some very specific topic, of course. Don't measure yourself by credentials. It takes the focus away from actually doing good things, and it won't shut up the imposter syndrome for long either if you focus on what credentials you do or don't have. 16. Find one person to whom you can say, "I feel like a fraud." Being able to say that out loud to another person can be a huge help. Especially when they laugh at you for it and then acknowledge that they feel the same way. 17. Realize that faking things actually does work. Sometimes faking it doesn't make you a fraud, If you smile, your body will be more generous with happy chemicals and actually make you happier. When you were a baby, you tried to walk and fell down every time. Were you a walking imposter? Who are you to walk? You can't even do it. It's absurd. Silicon Valley has been built by people trying to do things that probably weren't going to work. We need them to keep trying. We need you to keep trying. We need you. Whether you feel like an imposter or not.
Article number 3. 6 legal snares all entrepreneurs should be ready to dodge. Take it away.
6 legal snares all entrepreneurs should be ready to dodge. Source, Incorporated.com. By Eric Sherman. Dealing with lawyers, regulations, and contracts may not be fun, but it's a must to protect your business. The last thing you want to do as an entrepreneur is pour through long dull documents written by lawyers for lawyers. But there's a reason it's called work and not fun. Miss taking care of this aspect of your business and you might find yourself being investigated by the federal government, on the hook for thousands in otherwise unnecessary costs, in a never-ending fight with others involved in the company, or stuck at the exact time you need to be moving. I was speaking with David Rice, a professor of law at the Brooklyn Law School and research director of its Center for Urban Business Entrepreneurship Cube. Entrepreneurs often lack the broad business experience that would help them avoid a number of traps on the way to growing a business, he said. Here are some of the most common. Real estate contract snags. You have a great idea but know nothing about the basics of being a small business person, so you sign the first lease you're offered, he said. But a commercial property lease is a complex document that makes an apartment lease look like nothing in comparison. It typically is something to be negotiated, and getting help to understand the ramifications of various clauses is crucial. Often there are pretty complicated rent increase provisions that entrepreneurs don't get, he said. The document as written might assign you a portion of the building's increased operating expenses in addition to rent increases. Overly strong restrictions on the ability to reassign or sublease the lease's obligations could mean an inability to move to a larger space when the business grows. What are the use restrictions? Rice asked, what if the business morphs into something else? Does that violate the use limitations on the space? Pick the right corporate structure. You'll likely have many choices of how to legally and financially structure the company. Some are an LLC, sole proprietorship, partnership, S-Corp, or C-Corp. They have different tax implications, as you increase in size and revenues, Rice said. If you have the wrong structure in place, you might find yourself having to unwind it as a business expands. Not only might that be unnecessarily expensive, but you've potentially opened yourself to renegotiating some basic arrangements that could be troublesome. Get a fitting partner agreement. If you need a reminder of how badly partnerships can go, look at Snapchat or Square. One day everything is fine. The next, former best friends are at each other's throat. You have to consider how to allocate both profits and losses. Some investors might like more of the latter. Some people are putting in time, some are putting in intellectual property, and some are putting in cash, Rice said. People have different expectations for each of those contributions. A thorough and well-constructed partner agreement provides a framework for addressing the important issues before everyone is at an impasse. Have appropriate protection for intellectual property. All businesses have intellectual property. Getting protection on every aspect can burn through cash. For example, patents are great, but if you can't lock down broad enough protection, competitors might be able to easily work around the walls you built, in which case you may have wasted money. Perhaps trade secrets might be more appropriate. Do you really need to trademark every single name and phrase? Maybe yes, maybe no. Talk to a professional to devise a useful strategy, keeping an eye on what you can afford and how much effort you might need to divert from getting business done. Check insurance. You'll need commercial general liability insurance and might also need property insurance. Might directors and officers liability insurance, also known as D&O, be advisable to protect principals in the company? Does your lease or contracts with clients demand particular levels of coverage? Regulatory compliance. On one hand, anyone who says that regulations make it impossible to open a business is someone to be questioned. On the other, you can get badly tripped up in some common areas like taxes, handling inventory, or labor laws. A little bit of planning can save you lots of headaches, money, and bandwidth, Rice said. If you're working 16 hours a day, you don't want to be thinking about an investigation by the Department of Labor. You need someone to run through a checklist with you of the regulatory overlays on small businesses. Bringing lawyers, accountants, insurance brokers, and others in for reviews and discussions isn't cheap, but it's a lot less expensive than trying to solve problems after they've snared and tripped you.
All right, folks, that's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.